Almost forgot my glasses this morning. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning to Daniel 1. Hope and pray that that is the thought upon your heart and mind this morning. Thank you, Lord. It might be more oftentimes reserved for the end of November than the end of December, I guess. But really, it's good for any time of the month or any time of the year. And we certainly should, and I hope you do, feel thankful. The wonderful thing about Thanksgiving to God is that no matter where we are, no matter what we have, sure, somebody has more, and somebody may be more blessed by our estimation, that's perspective, but it could always be much worse if you think about it. So the Lord has given us much no matter where we are or station in life, no matter the circumstances thereof, he has blessed us in mighty ways, and we're thankful for that today, and I pray that that's on your heart and mind as well this morning, and being thankful in the midst of whatever situation we're in is what the Lord calls us to do and to be, and I pray that you've been able to find some ways to be thankful unto him this year especially. That's been a challenge to our normal perspectives, but certainly something we are called to do and should, and so I pray that that's been the case. Read with me here in Daniel chapter 1. Beginning in verse number 17, Daniel 1:17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. We find here in verse number 17, these four children mentioned by name again in verse number 19. Four Bible characters that we certainly have been familiar with all of our lives. And when we reflect upon Bible characters, their stories, God gives them to us to teach us. He gives them to us to guide us, to encourage us, to enliven us, to strengthen us. And yes, even to warn us of things in our own lives. And as you think about Bible characters, whether they be these four or the many others that are found throughout the pages of Scripture, we often make a mistake. And that mistake is to think that they had something or have something that we do not. That they had access in some way to some power that is beyond our grasp. To think that they were somehow greater than we are just because of who they were. That, however, is not the case. In fact, in most of the cases, if not all, they were very much ordinary like we. Sure, like Solomon, he was born into a royal family, and perhaps he had some advantages because of that station in life that we don't. But he struggled, didn't he? He struggled with things of the flesh. What about David? The same could be said. We think about others. And similar things come to mind. We completely miss out on or do danger or in danger of missing out on the lessons, the encouragement, the warnings that the Bible and the Lord conveys to us through these Bible characters if we think of them in this way. Now, none of us here this morning think of Peter that way, do we? Not really. We think of Peter much in a different light. But that's how we really need to think about all of the Bible characters, including these four, because that makes us or gives us the ability to relate to them much more. As Daniel and his three friends adapted to life and began to live what was their existence in Babylon, they struggled with the same doubts and fears that we might have creep into our minds. Struggled with the same, perhaps, anxieties, with the same hardships, and perhaps more. We certainly should not think that they had access to something we do not. As we said, these characters teach, encourage, and warn us, even as we see in the example of Daniel here. And in the example of Daniel, we should find all of those things: teaching, encouragement, hope, and also a warning about the things that we're facing today. Daniel and his friends were transported to Babylon and lived in the midst of a culture that was crumbling, a culture that was anti-God, a culture that wanted to change them fundamentally as to who they were, to take away their faith and replace it with the religion of Babylon, to take away their identity and substitute in its place an identity of Babylon, to take away really who they were and fit them into the mold of who they wanted them to be. They had a plan. The king certainly did have a plan to cancel them and to change them into what he wanted them to be. But God had his own plan, didn't he? And God had brought them to this place not to hide. God brought them to this place not to, like a chameleon, just become like Babylonians. He had brought them to this place not to be canceled or not to be adapted to their mold. But he brought them to this place because he had a plan and a purpose for them to bring to pass. Not only for themselves in their own development and their own walk with him, but even much more so for the society at hand in future, the future generations that would come. God had his own plan. And as that plan unfolded and Daniel and his three friends were a part of it, Daniel lived by a code. It's that code we're going to think about again this morning. As we have been reacquainted with Daniel's story, we see how he had very little control. And I think if 2020 has taught us anything, it has reminded us every single day how little control we really have over the events that surround us. We really have very little control. Maybe as American citizens, we have a little more than in other places because we get a vote every November, right? We have the ability to reach out to our representatives, our governors, our congressmen, voice our opinions and that sort of thing. But really, that isn't control. That's just influence. And so, really, when you think about this year, it has reminded us that, like Daniel, we have no control over the society that surrounds us. We have no control over its ultimate direction. We have no control over the things that it may or may not do or it may want to do. Now, certainly over time, we can have an influence, but we don't have control. We weren't in control this year of the virus. We weren't in control this year of the lockdowns. We weren't in control this year of how the fear has spread and even our reality today that the sickness is still among us and everything else that goes along with it. We're not in control of that. As we enter 2021, we're not going to be in control of any of that either. As it looks, Biden will be our next president. As he goes into office, the things that he designs or desires to do that we may not agree with, we have no control over. How that may impact our abilities in the future to worship and serve, we have no control over. All of these things are realities that Daniel faced every single day. He didn't have any control any longer over where he lived, over what he was surrounded by, over what he heard, over what he saw. He didn't have any control over even what he read anymore in those things. He didn't have any control. Neither do we. But what Daniel did have control over, and what I hope and pray you've been reminded of this year, Daniel had control over the way he responded to those circumstances. And that seems so elementary. That seems so almost as if it doesn't even merit a mention. But I think it is the most profound truth, especially in our situation today. For Daniel too, he couldn't control what the king did. He couldn't control what the society of Babylon wanted, how they worshiped, how they went about their lives, the debauchery they were involved in. He could not control that, but he could control how it affected him. He could control how it affected his relationship with his God. He could control how it affected what he thought and how he communed with God in that relationship in his heart. Sometimes we think that our hearts, our relationship with God even, must change as society around us crumbles. I mean, think about it. You all remember a day and a time. Those of you that are more my senior remember it greater or better than I do. When society was a not godly place, but we'll say more godly, more wholesome, more moral than it is today. You remember those times when you couldn't buy anything hardly at all on Sunday, let alone pretty much conduct business as usual like today. You remember all of those things about society of years gone by. And perhaps you have thought that in that time it was easier for your relationship with God, and as society crumbled, that meant that your relationship with God has went that way too. And for a lot of people in society, it has. But understand that is not the case. Understand that as society crumbles and as it becomes more and more anti-God as it is today, that does not dictate the crumbling of our relationship with God. It does not. Those two must be separated and understood. Must be separated and understood. Our relationship with God, therefore, is not determined by external forces. Think about that. That's the story of Daniel. He was plopped down in the middle of America 2020. I think it's very similar. And the external forces that were on Daniel did not determine his relationship, his faithfulness, or his ability to have faith in God. It didn't determine that. Presented some challenges, some hard work for Daniel to do, some things he had to overcome, definitely wisdom he needed to navigate, but it did not determine. I don't know how long we have before the Lord returns. We all know that it could be at this moment or any moment from now until we're done or thereafter. We know that. I don't know how much longer that will be, but I do know that the longer time goes on, the more degenerate and the darker times are going to get, the more anti-God this country is going to get, and the more society is going to crumble and devolve into immorality. I know that. But as that happens, that does not mean that our relationship with God has to follow suit. The two are not tied together. And we need to remember that. We need to understand that. And as much as we fight for our country, and as much as we fight for the freedoms we have in the society that surrounds us, and we want to see it for its best, our relationship with God is not determined by it. Daniel proves that to us. He could have a relationship with God that was profitable, that was successful, that was honoring to God in the midst of Babylon, of all places. We can do it in America 2020 and 2021. We can do it here. And we can have an impact and an influence on those around us. And understand that we can glorify God. In other words, to put it another way, we do not today have a relationship with God because the government of America says that we can. We don't. Now, has the government made it easier over time with things like the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly? Yeah, it's made it easier in some ways because we haven't had to fear. We've had the freedom to come and go and to speak as we want and to assemble as we want and all of those things. If those things end, does our relationship with God end? No. And I think we need to prepare ourselves and cause ourselves to understand that, because that's what Daniel faced. He faced the end of the government in which he lived under, which was Israel. That came to an end, right? I mean, it was pro-God. It was pro-service to God and worship to God and all that. That ended. It collapsed. He was deported and taken away. And so now he's in a place where not only is it not strengthened and encouraged and all of that, but it's the opposite. And his relationship with God did not crumble and fall apart. Daniel's faith remained strong. And he was able to navigate that in a great way. If tomorrow it becomes illegal to be a Christian in this country, and you've heard a variation on this for all your life probably, a lot of different things have been said following this statement. You know, some will ask, well, are you still going to assemble when it becomes illegal? Are you still going to read your Bible when they want to take them away? Are you still going to do all those things? But here's an even better question. If it becomes illegal tomorrow to be a Christian in this country, more than a question, a statement, let's say, we will still have a relationship with God. That can never be taken away or made illegal. Focus on that. I'm not saying I want the rights and the freedoms of our citizenship taken away. No. I'm not saying I want to see America deeper and further into sin and immorality. No, but I know those things are going to happen to some degrees. But as they happen, you know what? It doesn't mean that I am less dependent, connected to, or faithful to God, does it? Might make it harder. But it doesn't mean that I am less or that we are less. I mean, think about it in your lifetime. Abortion became legal. Prayer being taken out of school. Gay marriage becoming the law of the land. None of that, though it's not what we would wanted and though it's not what we would prefer, none of it took away our ability, responsibility, and privilege to have a relationship with God. Right? And so though society decays, our relationship with God can and should remain strong. We should remain devoted to God despite the circumstances, though it might mean we have to work harder. Though it might mean we have to overcome more obstacles. Though it might mean that we have to ask God for wisdom more and more. They do not have power over our hearts. The circumstance of society does not have power over our relationship with God unless we allow it. Now, we can't allow it to, just as Daniel went to Babylon, he could have been destroyed by Babylon, right? Well, in essence, he couldn't because God was with him. We know how it turned out and how God planned, but he could have been destroyed by Babylon if he had just decided to do things differently. This is the code we've been talking about. It's the code I believe we need to live by today as well. We've been mentioning this code. I want to give it to you and then talk about it for a few minutes here this morning. As we navigate the crumbling culture that we're surrounded by, that Daniel was surrounded by, the three separate parts to what made up Daniel's approach, believe to the times in which he lived, and that we can apply to the times in which we live today. First of all, don't give in. Be resistant. Don't give in. Be resistant. Second of all, don't give up. Be consistent. Then thirdly, don't give out. Be persistent. So resistant, consistent, and persistent will aid us in this life as we live in the midst of an anti-God crumbling culture that wants to cancel everything that we are and mold us and shape us and everything it wants us to be. These three things. First of all, don't give in, be resistant. Don't give in, be resistant. The easy route and the general tendency of most people is to simply give in to the culture and go its way. When in Rome, right? That's the saying we're accustomed to. To simply give in and go the way of the culture. If we do that, and those that have done that over the course of time, their hearts will be carried away from God as well. Now, Daniel was carried away from Jerusalem. Daniel was carried away from the place of worship. Daniel was carried away to Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar could not carry Daniel away from his God. So as we live in a culture that is trying to carry us away captive, that is trying to move us away from our God, let us not be moved. Let us be resistant. Don't allow it to create separation between us and God. Don't allow it to move us away from Him. And as we noticed last week, Daniel did accept things that were not essential. Changes in his life doesn't mean that there aren't changes. Some people might call them compromises. I don't like that word. I'll call them changes that Daniel allowed. Like his language. He spoke, learned to speak Chaldean, like his literature, his learning. He took all those things in, like his name change. All those things happened, and Daniel took them and made them part of his life. They didn't change his heart. They could call Daniel whatever he wanted. Daniel was still going to call upon his God. They could have him read whatever books they wanted. Daniel was still going to have his mind and his heart engrossed in God's word. They could do these things. And that was fine. Daniel even saw value perhaps in learning those ways and understanding those things that would help him in the future. But Daniel drew the line when it came to diet, as we saw last week, but also prayer, as we know very well from chapter 6. When it came to those two things, Daniel said no. He said, I can't do that. He drew the line. Why? Because those things involved his heart. And those things involved his relationship with God. And he said no. And he found a workaround and was able to get through those times. By doing this, he was not isolated from the culture. He had a witness. He had a testimony. And that legacy, we'll see in a minute, lived on for many hundreds of years later. He wasn't isolated from the culture. But because he knew where and when to draw the line, he was insulated from it. Right? He insulated his heart. He had protection because of this code. And he was resistant. We need to be that way today. We need to accept the changes that we can and understand where that line is that we have to draw and say, no, I will not accept that to change my heart towards God. That takes Christian maturity to be able to do that. And we need that today. So don't give in. Be resistant to the culture surrounding us. Go over to Daniel chapter 3. And jump around in Daniel a little bit here. The second part of Daniel's code is don't give up. Don't give up. Be resistant. Or be consistent. Sorry. Don't give up. Be consistent. Society wants us to. It's what it's hoping. It's what Satan wants, is us to give up. It's the greatest thing that could happen in his book. It's easy, if we're not guarded, to become overwhelmed by the crumbling, decaying culture. Its desire to cancel us or fit us into its mold. It's easy for us just to simply surrender and give up. Quit trying. Surely Daniel was tempted to think many times, what's the use? I can't get to the temple. I can't worship. I can't sacrifice. What's the use? I'm one man, or we're four men. What could we possibly do to change the culture around us? How could we possibly have an impact? Let's just do what's easy. Let's just give up. Daniel didn't do that. He was consistent, and it led his three Hebrew friends to do the same. Notice here in Daniel 3, verse 8. Of course, we know here in Daniel 3, the three Hebrew children, as we refer to them, did not fall down and worship the golden image. And here in verse number 8, that is brought to the attention of others. Verse 8, wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, he shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So we see here the three Hebrew children were put under the pressure of bowing to this statue, canceling their faith, their devotion to God, going against all that they'd been taught, and they said no. They drew a line. Just like Daniel had done, they drew a line. They said, no, we cannot accept that. They had went and they had accepted other things, changed other things, but this they would not do. Now notice, as it's brought to the attention now of others, they have time to change their stories. They have time to accept. They have time to change. But as you notice here, in verse number 14, as they're brought before the king, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" They're given the opportunity to change, aren't they? Of course, we know the story, and their answer here is, "King, we don't even need to hear the music. We're not going to do it." You see the consistency here. The consistency. Daniel and these men drew the line on diet, which guarded their heart. Their relationship with God remained. As time went on, they went about serving God and living their life in Babylon. They reached some levels of success here. They remained consistent. They said, "No, we're not going to worship this thing." Brought before the king, he said, "Look, you need to do it or else you're going to die." They said, "Nope." And then even they were brought before the fiery furnace and cast in. And they still didn't change their tune, did they? All of this shows that they did not give up. They did not give up. They were consistent in how they applied their standard, their relationship with God, and their heart remained pure and devoted unto the Lord. That's what we need today. Be consistent. We need to be consistent in the midst of a society that is constantly trying to get us to change. Don't do that changing on those things which we have drawn lines on already. These men would not be consistent in that. And that needs to be something we continue to do today. Change is all around us. Be consistent as Daniel was. Don't give up today as society pressures us to change. And with it, take our hearts away from God. Don't do that. Be like Daniel. Be like these three men. And then thirdly, the third part of this Daniel code is don't give out. Don't give out. Be persistent. So don't give in, don't give up, and don't give out. It's a long haul. You know that. We need to play the long game, which means that it's easy to stand up and rail at the top of your lungs against a very specific thing, for an hour, let's say, or for a few moments. What's much harder is to live in the midst of a crumbling culture, gaining its respect, all the while remaining faithfully committed and devoted to God and having a strong relationship with Him. Doing that, like Daniel, will get us to have the best influence and the greatest amount of testimony to those around us. Go back to Daniel chapter number 2. Over time, Daniel continued. He did not give up. He did not give in. But he also did not give out. He remained persistent. He remained persistent. I want you to see that persistence here. Daniel chapter 2. We notice here, verse 14. I'm not going to take time to read the whole chapter. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Doesn't remember it. He wants his astrologers and magicians to tell him what it is. They can't do it. And so angrily in verse number 13, he tells or makes the decree that all of them should die, right? Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is thy decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, as you read these verses, you see the persistence of Daniel. Now, on one hand, from a human perspective, I mean, if the king killed all the wise men, wouldn't that be a service to humanity? Probably. I mean, they weren't anything godly or good in that regard. But then, of course, Daniel and his friends would have perished too, but then they would have been with God and out of this hellish situation in Babylon. So one might say that might have been an acceptable alternative. But what does Daniel do here? He hears about the situation and he is very persistent. He won't give up. He says, let me talk to the king. Give me an audience. I want to know what the problem is. And then once he finds out the problem, he says, give me some time. And goes to his friends and prays. And he receives the vision. And he's able to save these men. He had compassion on the men of Babylon. Even the wise men, he didn't see them as his enemy. But he was able to save them. He was persistent in his beliefs. Persistent in his pursuit of God in that relationship. And that was a benefit to these men here. Their lives were saved because of Daniel. I mean, think about that. God spared the lives of these ungodly, immoral men because of Daniel. Now, they could have still died, but God chose to save their lives through Daniel. He was very persistent, and it was a blessing to these men. We need to be a blessing to society around us today. Even though they are immoral and ungodly for the most part. Not saying everyone exactly, but you know what I mean, in general, as a whole. It is not our place to condemn. The Bible does that. They're already condemned. It's not our place to look down upon. If it weren't for the grace of God, there we would be too. It is our duty to be a blessing like Daniel. And they are blessed by our persistently suing God, pursuing God, never giving up. And I pray that that is a guiding principle of our life today. Do not give out. The long haul is exactly that. It's long. It's arduous. It's difficult. But that's what we're called for today. And I pray that we can use Daniel's code as an example. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out. Be resistant to the culture, but don't isolate yourself from it. Be consistent with how you apply what God has taught you. Use the parameters of Scripture, no more, no less. We can either be wider than this book. You know, it's pretty narrow. We can either be wider than this book and accept too much, or we can be narrower than this book and accept too little. You don't hear that talked about too much, but we can be too narrow. So what do we need to be? We need to be right within the confines of Scripture. Be consistent in that. Don't change in these things where it is not warranted. Don't give out, but also be persistent, persistently pursuing the relationship we have with God, knowing that it is not dependent upon the laws of our country. Our relationship with God is not dependent upon whether it is in favor as a society for us to be Christians or not. That it is not hinging upon whether or not this person's elected or that person is in this position. But it is entirely dependent upon our heart seeking God, drawing near to Him. And James chapter 1:8 tells us, and He will draw near to us, right? And so that's what we need to be about, and that's what we need to be doing. Now go back to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel's legacy as he lived among the Babylonians. I think it's important to note that Daniel wasn't hated by his society. Some Christians, I use that term broadly, wear that as a badge of honor today, to be hated by society. Now, if we live a godly life, there will be those that dislike us just simply because of that. I understand. And we see later on, Daniel had those that were against him and didn't like him in chapter 6. I see that. But I think it's important to note here that Daniel had the respect and admiration of those that surrounded him. Notice Daniel 1 in verse 9. His being resistant, consistent, and persistent showed and paid off because God showed up for Daniel. Notice in verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Imagine that. As he came to Babylon, the way he conducted himself along with the mercy, favor, and blessing of God had not made Daniel hated by those that were over him, by what should have been his enemy, but it made him loved, admired, respected. And of course, we know that paid off because he was able to ask them for different diet, something to eat. That worked out. Was that Daniel? Was that God? The answer is yes. Of course, God is the one to credit for all things. But Daniel had a temperament about him that he was able to use what he believed in a disarming way. And he was able to have a rapport, a relationship, and a love with those around him, though they didn't agree with him, though they didn't love his God. He was still able to do so. Notice in verse 17 of chapter 1. Daniel didn't see enemies, he saw opportunities. In Daniel 1:17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Notice here that because of their faithfulness and their position and the plan that God had for them, he gave them vision, or Daniel the ability to have and understand visions and dreams, the others to have knowledge, skill, and learning. Now notice here in verse number 19, the end of the 3 years had came. They were brought in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. They rose to the top. Not only were they involved in and with those that were anti-God and immoral and those things, they rose to the top. They got to the place because of that they were able to advise the king. Do you think their advice was godly? Of course. Do you think that their advice had an effect on Nebuchadnezzar? Sure, it did. All because of how they conducted themselves and the blessings of God, that they were able to do so. And so this would put them in a position to honor God and be used mightily, which we see going on throughout the time of Daniel's sojourning in Babylon. Now notice verse 21. We've been highlighting verse 21 every time we've been together in this study, because of its importance. Notice here, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Here's that persistence again, right? Don't give up. He continued. He continued through the difficulties, through the times when Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you all dead. Daniel persisted. When he tried to slay his three friends, they persisted. They continued. When they tried to eliminate prayer, Daniel continued. He persisted. 70 years of his life, the entirety pretty much of the captivity, Daniel continued. Never gave in, never gave up, he never gave out. And it tells us here in verse number 21, he continued even in spite of all these things unto the first year of King Cyrus. When you study Daniel, you see that he outlives Nebuchadnezzar. He outlives Darius. He outlives the Babylonian Empire. When you get right down to it. It, of course, was captured by the Medes and the Persians. And then Persians alone. And we see all those things transpiring and happening through the book of Daniel. Daniel remained. Daniel was persistent throughout the whole time. He continued. And notice here it says that he continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Why is that important? Why is that given to us? It's given to us to show us not only the longevity of Daniel, but also to show us his legacy. Because of Daniel's persistence, his resistance, his continuance, all these things that he was able to accomplish, because of his testimony, means that when King Cyrus, and turn over with me to 2 Chronicles 36. King Cyrus was used of God, though he was not a godly king himself. He would become king of what was once Babylon, once the Persians defeated the Medes and took full control. He would be the king some 70 years after Daniel was taken into captivity. And though he was not a godly man himself, God had a use for King Cyrus. And we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 that use. Now remember, it tells us that Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. 2 Chronicles 36, verse number 22. Second Chronicles 36, 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in a writing saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. And he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. This ends the book of Chronicles, of course, and connects Cyrus with what we've read in Daniel, doesn't it? Think of it. Daniel was carried away as a young man. He was subjected to the kind of treatment that he was, and all the things that happened. He lived a long life, separated from home, separated from his place of worship, separated from a godly culture, and all of those things. And Daniel stuck it out. Daniel remained persistent, and there was a day and a time when he was able to stand in the king's court, I believe, and hear King Cyrus make this decree. And oh, what a joy that had to be to fill Daniel's heart. You see that it took a lifetime of resistance, a lifetime of persistence, a lifetime of being consistent. Daniel was able then to see great success, but it took 70 years, didn't it? And along the way, he saw bits and pieces, little here, little there. But this had to be a great victory for Daniel to hear the command of Cyrus that Jerusalem should be rebuilt. Daniel had a part in that because along the way, Daniel was there. Daniel was there accepting what he could, befriending whom he could, being a part of the culture as much as he could, drawing lines where he needed to, and saying no, and showcasing his relationship with God the whole time. Being friendly, seeing opportunities where most people would see enemies. And in doing so, God blessed him greatly. God used him little by little to have an effect on society. Now, did the whole Babylonian or by this time Persian culture change? No. Cyrus himself was not even what we would call a godly man, but he was able to hear him say these things. And then later, when Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5, was able to say to Artaxerxes, I need to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem. Daniel had a part in that. Daniel had a part in that. Why? Because those that he had a whole generation, or maybe two, if you really think about it, Daniel had influenced those people that he lived with. And as Nehemiah went back to build the walls of Jerusalem, Daniel had a part in that. No, we know all the honor and glory belong to God, but God used Daniel. Later, as Ezra, and you can read about it in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, as he went back to restore the temple and return the holy vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had stolen so many years before, guess what? Daniel had a part in that. Daniel had a part in that. And then if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. verse number one. Daniel 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. We see here the wise men coming to worship Jesus. And I tell you that Daniel had a part in this too. Can't prove it conclusively by scripture, but as you look to the east of Jerusalem and you begin to ask yourself, how and why were wise men, kings of the east, looking for a Messiah to be born? How is that even possible? How could that be? Daniel is a good place to look because Daniel had had a great impact and influence on those that would live on after him. He had taught them about who he was and about what he was looking forward to and about his religion and faith. He was able to have a great impact. They were looking for the sign of the heaven. They were looking for the Messiah to come. They knew, and they traveled because of it. And they owe that to Daniel. Daniel was used of God greatly to impact his culture, and it did not change his heart for God. That's up to us. Society will do what it's going to do. What it does to our heart is up to us. What it does to our relationship with God is up to us. We should fight for the right to assemble, the right be able to freely speak and spread the gospel. We should fight for all the things we hold dear as Americans. But even if they're all gone, we find ourselves still having a relationship with God. And it can be as close and as strong and as great as it has ever been for God's people. That's what Daniel shows us. But you know what? He didn't do any of that. He didn't have any of that influence. He wasn't a part of any of those great things because he was bitter about his situation, because he was mad at society, or because he saw enemies in those around him that were not like him. He said he saw opportunities, and he saw the ways that he could show his God to them by the way he lived, the things he did, how he carried himself. He was able to be part of the culture without being assimilated to it. And that took wisdom. That took guidance and leadership from God. And that's what it'll take from us today too. That's what we need to be seeking today, so that in years to come, it might be said of us, he had a part in that. He had a part in that. All glory to God. And I pray that that will strengthen us. It'll warn us. It'll help us in this time in which we live today. Because as we move into 2021, fasten your seatbelts, because it's only going to get faster and it's only going to get bumpier in a lot of ways. And so we better understand that they can take a lot of things away from us, but they can't take our God. They can't take our faith. They can't take our relationship from him or with him away from us. And I'll tell you, you know, even if it does become illegal and makes it hard or impossible to meet together, that's our a preference. That's what we want. That's what we're called to do. Meet together for assembly. If that's impossible, guess what? You still have a relationship with God. It's not exactly carried out in the world like it was before, but guess what? It's still there. They can't take that away. And I hope that resonates with you today. In our society, it's not, our relationship with God isn't dependent on the godliness of society, but it's all between us and God. And so we need to seek him daily. Don't give in, don't give up, don't give out in your life today is Daniel's code. It should be ours too. All right, let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed from our Sunday morning service. Pray that God would bless as we depart, that he'd give us strength, courage, and wisdom to navigate the times in which we live. Let's pray. Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for your blessings, your mercy, your watch care. We thank you for your love, your compassion, and all the ways that you have blessed us today by allowing us to gather together and worship your holy name. We pray, Father, that you would